What's going on, guys? Welcome to the Think Computers Weekly Tech Podcast. This is episode 88. I think the podcast is brought to you by Amazon. Go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon. Buy your stuff there. Help the podcast out. Obviously, you're shopping on Amazon anyways. You're listening to this podcast, and it's just a great way to save money and help us out. So this is our last episode of 2016. Got Bob here. What's going on, Bob?
What's going on, man? It's a pretty solid intro there.
Thanks.
Yeah, it is.
Wake
it
up. It's early today.
I know. It's early. It is, what is today? Saturday.
Saturday.
It is Saturday, New Year's Eve. We're doing this instead of Sunday because Sunday I fly to Vegas.
Yeah.
I'm going out there a couple days early because next week obviously is CES. So we're super pumped about that. I know I am.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Super Every pumped. Year. Yeah. But it's the end of the year, man. It's been a kind of crazy year for tech. A lot of cool stuff. A lot of, I would say there's been some disappointments. Especially on the graphics card side, for sure.
I think it's just been a steady year overall to me.
It's been a good year. I think a lot of things have gone in the right direction.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it comes to like how PC gaming is still getting more and more popular, and the things we're seeing, it's great to see it.
I think it's gained more traction this year than ever.
Yeah, it's been a really good year for PC gaming, and I mean, some great games came out. You know, we can talk about all that. We'll get into our stuff, and then we'll jump back into the year, I would say.
We'll do a little year roundup at the end.
Yeah, we'll talk about some stuff at the end here. So, to start out this week, Derek reviewed NZXT's Kraken X52 Liquid CPU Cooler.
I did. Took me forever to get to this, so I kind of apologize for that. It's been out for a bit. So, you probably have seen this thing, but I gotta be honest, this is probably the coolest all-in-one CPU cooler that I've used. It's a 240. This is the X52. Is a 240 millimeter red equipped cooler. So it's got pretty good performance. But I think it was fifth overall for all the coolers we've tested, and second for a 240. So nice. It got great performance. But like, that's not even like, normally I'd be pretty happy with just that, you know, in a standard cooler, but this thing has an infinity mirror built into the top of the pump, and that is like the main feature of it. And if you don't know what that is, it's two mirrors. One of them is a two-way mirror on the top, and so it simply reflects. And then they put an LED ring sandwiched in between them, and it simply reflects that LED light back and forth, so it looks like, you know, whenever you put two mirrors in front of each other, everything goes into infinity, right?
So
it just creates that crazy effect, and that's right in the middle of your case. And honestly, I've never seen anything this cool. I almost say that it's cooler than water cooling in some cases, you know? Like, you cannot get this effect from anywhere else. It's ingenious. Well, and I can't say that they, like, came up with it themselves, because I think the first time we've seen this, I want to say, is that InWin case at CES last year.
Yeah, I believe that's the first time we saw the Infinity. I actually have that case sitting here.
Do you? But not with the Infinity mirror?
No, with the Infinity mirror.
Really?
Yeah, it just showed up at my house.
Oh, they finally launched it then.
Yeah, it just showed up at my house.
Yeah, because they were not going to produce that part.
Yeah, well, I have one at least.
I guess I mentioned that in my review. Maybe I should change that line.
Yeah.
This part never came out. That's okay.
But yeah, I think that's one of the coolest things, and I think that if you do have a window in your case, I mean, that's just a great way to show off your system.
Yeah, it's so cool.
And Derek made a video showing off the different lighting modes. It's not just like one color. Like, you can do a lot of cool stuff. It's RGB, so you can do a lot of cool stuff with it.
Yep.
And it can be controlled with their CAM software. I think all of the aspects of the cooler can be controlled with the CAM software, correct?
Yeah, the fans and the pump and the lights. The pump, when I changed the mode, it didn't seem to actually change anything, so I don't know if that's actually fixed or if it actually does change the speed, but it performed just fine. I did have to crank the fans all the way up to their fullest speed to get that performance out of it, so you probably wouldn't run them that way, but they still, they did good otherwise.
How was the everyday use. How was the mounting? Like, how easy was it to get?
Oh, it's so easy.
Okay.
This is an Asetek cooler.
Okay.
Like all NZXT all-in-ones have been. And many others, of course. And so they've been using the same mounting system since, like, ever, forever, basically.
Yeah, I have a bunch here.
So, yeah, it's quite dialed in. If you're an Intel user, you're basically going to take this thing out of the box, perform like a couple steps, and it's installed. It's so much easier than some of the others I've reviewed recently.
Nice. And what is the price of this?
Now, that was like the one downside. It is $149.99.
So, do you think the okay, so if you look at this compared to all the other coolers, right?
Yeah.
It does have the software to control it, because we have seen ones that don't have software to control it, right?
Yeah.
It does have it has decent performance, and you know, it's in our top five.
Yeah.
And it has the Infinity Mirror. Do you think it's worth that price?
I do. And that's why I don't think you're going to see any price drops on that. I wouldn't, like, if you want one, it's probably not worth holding out for. This thing is incredibly popular, and it's probably just going to stay fixed there, to be honest. It's
nice.
It's one of them that I think is totally worth the price. It's just high, you know? That's all there is to it.
Yeah. It's like I said, I think the Infinity Mirror does it. I mean, that, I think for me, that justifies a price bump of, I would say, $20 to $30.
Easily.
You know? And again, you can control that light through the software, which is even better.
Yeah, and if you've never used CAM software, it's there, like, it's an aggregate program that pulls all of your monitoring stats into one spot and your system tweak controls, and it's, like, I'd say it's probably the best one you can get overall.
Yeah, they did, was it last year or the year before they completely redid the software?
It was last year, yeah.
Yeah, so they've really, you know, a lot of people were really pissed off with the software, because when we did our coverage on when they redid it, they're really mad about it, but they've redone it, and from what I've heard, I don't have that that much experience with it, but from what I've heard of what you said, they've really done a really great job to make it much better software too. So
yeah, it's super inclusive, and it's just got everything, and the interface is nice. It looks good. If you're gonna use one of these programs, I would recommend CAM.
Nice. All right. Yeah. Well, definitely check out Derek's review. It's a really great review, and check out his video as well. He shows off that Infinity Mirror, because it is probably one of the main features of the cooler besides the great performance. So that moves on to my review, and I took a look at an interesting product, and we don't review a whole lot of these. This actually comes from Rosewill, which is Newegg's kind of house brand, and it is their RMS-1600-3 dual monitor desk mount. So if you're anything like me, I have a dual monitor set up at home, even though I might be switching, but to a nice big curved monitor. But yeah. I do have a dual monitor set up at home, and the biggest thing with dual monitors is they take up a lot of space. Just with the stands and everything, it's just a lot of desk space taken up, and it kind of gets annoying. And a lot of the times, you know, you want them higher up, or you want to, you know, you want to be able to move them around freely. Well, that's what a desk mount or a monitor arm is kind of made to do. There's tons of them out there. And Rosewill, their RMS series, these new ones, they've come out with three different ones, and they're highly affordable. Usually when it comes to a decent monitor arm, especially a dual monitor arm, you're looking at $150 to $200 typically. And this one is only, I believe, $69.99.
Nice.
I'm pretty sure. So when they approached me to review this, I was a little skeptical, because at that price, you're like, okay, my monitor's going to fall on this thing, you know. I was actually quite surprised. Most of the build of the monitor arms are, you know, heavy duty metal, and I had no problem getting my monitors installed and set up. You do have a good range of motion as well, so you can move your monitors around pretty easily. It's not, so I reviewed a Silverstone one, which does cost around $200, and that gives you a little bit more freedom to move the displays. Okay. But I think at this price range, you're getting what you pay for, and you do have quite a lot of freedom to move the displays around. This thing is super easy to set up. A lot of times with these, they're a pain in the ass to really set up, but this was actually quite easy. And another cool thing about this one is it has two USB 3.0 ports on it, which is really great.
I thought that was pretty cool. That's in the base of the holder, right?
Yeah, it's in the base of the stand. And it's really cool, because what I'm using this for is for all our test systems. And typically I have I have all the test systems connected to a KVM, and then I plug my keyboard and mouse into a KVM or whatever. Mm-hmm. With this, it just plugs right into the front of this, and I can swap out stuff really easily without having to like climb behind to the KVM. It's just much easier, and it's a nice little addition. And they are true USB 3.0 ports.
Nice.
So it's really nice, and I think for the price, you're not going to find a better deal out there. For a monitor arm, you're just not. Especially ones that give you the range of motion. You can tilt, swivel, and rotate as well. So if you want your screens in portrait mode instead of landscape, you can do that. I mean, there's a lot of cool stuff you can do with this. It's a nice little setup. I do like it. The only thing, and with all of these, most of these arms, is managing your cables just is not fun. Right. Because you kind of have to put them down through these channels, and it's just... Their implementation isn't the best I've seen, but it's kind of really hard to do in general anyways. But again, for $70, it's $69.99, you're not going to find a better dual monitor arm out there. And this is great for people, maybe startups, who need a couple monitor arms and they don't want to spend a whole lot of money. This will get you one.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing just how much money you can spend on mounts for monitors and TVs and stuff like that.
Yes.
But Rosewill always comes through with a product that's super affordable. And,
yeah.
And really, I mean, sometimes their stuff fails, but not usually.
Yeah, it. I was pleasantly surprised, because I was like, I'm gonna connect this and then reinstall my Silverstone, and I still have this connected. And I'm actually going to move the Silverstone one to the actual office and have this one at home. So
good.
So yeah.
Good.
So I.
You're going to use that every day.
Yeah. Yeah, it works pretty well. I like it. And again, it frees up that desk space under your displays, which is really nice.
And you get them right at the level you want. And
stuff. Yeah, so this doesn't have as much height adjustment as the Silverstone, but I think it's right at that perfect level off the...
Off the desk.
I wasn't like, oh, wow, this... It was actually kind of high, so I actually moved it a little bit down, but... I'm not like, oh, I wish I could do this. I don't feel disappointed by this at all. It's a great product. And again,
especially for $70.
For $70, if somebody's looking for a monitor arm, this is one that I would totally recommend. So, cool. Definitely check out that review if you're interested in a monitor arm. So that brings us to Case Mod Friday. And of course, that is one of our favorite sections of the site, and that is where we cover a build or mod that's been completed in the community. And this week we have a really interesting build from a guy called TimePlay, who I believe we haven't featured before, which is a first, because a lot of times we've been featuring a lot of the same guys. Build is inside the Cooler Master Case Maker 5 case, which is a great case.
I got a comment. We've seen this case a lot.
Yeah, Cooler Master did just have a competition, I believe. I believe this is part of it. But I chose this because it's really interesting, especially the color on the water cooling. I think it's really interesting. It's sort of like a neon pink?
Yeah, I'm sure that it's a UV pink.
Yeah.
And but it's not, yeah, it's got, that's gotta be what it is, because it's the rest of the UV in it too that really sets it off. All the rest of the lighting is like a blue,
yeah,
it's like a UV blue look, and yeah, it contrasts really nicely.
And another thing that's interesting, we see so much hard tubing, and the tubing in this is not hard tubing, I don't believe.
It's gotta be.
Okay, this other one does. Yeah. The one picture made it look like it wasn't.
Yeah, no, it's actually. Really, really good.
Yeah, it's really well, so it doesn't look like hard tubing, kind of, especially the ones coming down.
I think it's bigger than most hard tubing, I think.
Yeah, so the tubing has a larger diameter, and it's all Alpha Cool water cooling parts, which is cool to see.
Yeah. But yeah, I think it's the way that the coolant kind of sets it off. It just looks really soft.
Yeah.
So yeah, that looks.
Yeah, I really like this.
Great, yeah.
Yeah, I really like this build. It's a great case to build into, just in general. And one thing I really liked, so the build is called Avoid, and he actually modded the graphics card instead of saying like it's a Gigabyte card, instead of saying Gigabyte right there, it says Avoid, and it just looks like it's stock. Oh, yeah. I didn't even notice that. Yeah, isn't that pretty cool?
Yeah. That's when you know you did a good job, is when somebody doesn't realize that that's...
Yeah, it just looks like it's part of the graphics card, which is pretty awesome.
So he took out the plate there and cut the...
He had to take out the plate and make his own, I guess, and put it back in, or however you would do that.
It's got good metalwork. His lines are really clean.
Yeah, so it's really cool. I like it.
I would love to have this case at my desk.
Yeah, it's a good case. I have the newer one, which was the 5T, the Master Case Maker 5T, which is basically the same case with some small changes. It's a great case.
The top window is sweet.
Yeah, he added that. That's not stock. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I know. Like where you would, where you'd normally have a grill to put more fans, he took that out and put a window in.
Yeah, so that's a really great build. Really, really great build. I like it.
Yeah, definitely check this one out, guys. This is really worth seeing.
Yeah, I like the color contrast too. You don't typically see that.
So. Yeah, I think that's what does it mostly.
Yeah, that's why I chose this one. Was it just the colors stood out a lot for me? So definitely check out this build, and obviously check out all the builds in Case Mod Friday. There are a ton. And if you're looking for inspiration for your own build or just want to see what's possible, I'll definitely check out Case Mod Friday section. Tons of stuff on there. So that brings us to news, and this is a week. The last 2 weeks of the year are slow, unless there's leaks for CES stuff. So one of the really interesting stories this week is that it's been talked about that Intel is going to be working on a new implementation of the x86 architecture. So basically what that means is, since Sandy Bridge in our the current core generation of processors, they've all been based on the same architecture, more or less, with things added. Just kind of like a, I wouldn't say a refresh, but, you know.
It's just like the same core building block.
Yeah, it's the same building blocks with things added every different generation. We get different features added, but at its core, it's the same architecture.
Yeah, it's
x86. And what it seems like is that Intel will be working on a new architecture based on the x86 that should come out sometime around 2019-2020. So basically, we will see Kaby Lake launched next week. Yep. And then 2018 is, I forget what that is, and then 2019 is Tiger Lake. And that would effectively be the last Core Series desktop processor, which is kind of interesting because we've seen the Core Series, run our... We will be on our seventh generation coming up with Kaby Lake next week. And, we'll have a couple more, seventh, eighth, ninth generation. And then after that, we'll have something new. And the thing that's really interesting about this story is that Intel is designing this new architecture to be kind of a lean and mean design, whereas with the Core architecture, everything was backwards compatible as far as different legacy features and things like that. It was all compatible, you know what I mean? So it just made it more bulky and not as, I would say, efficient. With this, they're going to take all that stuff off and make it super efficient, so you'll actually free up more die space, and you'll have smaller, more efficient cores. Sort of like what AMD kind of did with Ryzen, is they completely redesigned everything.
I think, honestly, to me, when I first saw this, I thought, wow, this is totally in response to Ryzen. Like, this is... They've probably been sitting on this idea. They've already got their next few years in the works for production, so they can't abandon those chips necessarily without taking a loss on it. And so now they're like, well, we better step up now. So this is the first biggest positive that I see, even before Ryzen has hit the market.
Yeah, because the biggest thing that we see is, while Intel has made steps to make their processors more efficient, especially power-wise, it's not a massive...
No, they've been milking the market for the forever, almost.
Yeah, so, I mean, the Core Series, again, we get new features, but it's not this crazy IPC improvement. It's not You know, it's not super efficient, where, you know, we don't see the big, like, just how we saw when on the GPU side, when we went from 28 nanometer to 16 or to 14, the mm-hmm. huge improvement as far as efficiency, we haven't seen that in the CPU market at all.
No, there's no reason to for them.
Yeah.
Like, who, why?
Exactly.
The best thing that anybody can buy is your part, so why make anything better?
Yeah, and again, yeah, there's no competition out there, so... So, yeah.
Yeah, the only reason for Intel to step forward at all this whole time has basically been just for the advancement of, what, like, mankind, sort of?
Yeah.
And so now they've actually got a competitive reason to make a better part, and I think that's what we're seeing right here.
Yeah, so we'll probably see this in 2020. I think that will be a huge year.
Yeah.
Only 4 years away, so it's not like it's, a, really, you know.
Only 3 years away.
Yeah, yeah, because we're getting into 17.
One day from 17.
Yeah. You know, so I think that will be a massive year for Intel. It should see...
Yeah, that'll be huge.
Yeah, that's going to be super huge. So definitely... but
there's going to be a ton of freaking out between now and then. Oh my gosh, my stuff is not going to work, but I bet it's not a big deal at all.
From what we understand, it's not going to be a big deal.
Yeah.
Because you can emulate the legacy stuff anyways. So
the one interesting thing I noticed, though, was that you mentioned in the article that they'll be probably removing SIMD. And that's like a highly related to graphics thing, right? I wonder if that means they're going to move away from on-chip graphics then.
They should.
I mean, that would free up so much space.
Like,
that's been the big push, but, like, take it off and you could probably make a much faster processor.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing why they keep it on the chip is for the lower end in different implement, and especially for mobile, for laptops and stuff like that.
Of course. So I mean, it's not like they have to eliminate the x86. They could keep making parts that have that, you know?
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to eliminate it entirely. Maybe that's what they'll do, essentially.
Yeah, it's going to be sad to see the core generation go away, because that's really when Intel, when Sandy Bridge came out, I mean, that was a big deal.
Sandy Bridge, I would honestly still say that Sandy Bridge was the pinnacle of the core series, though.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yes, definitely. I would.
Well, I guess, okay, so that might not be the right word, pinnacle. But the high point, like, that was such a dominant part, and they have yet to come out with anything from the core series that is close.
Yes, that is 100% correct. And I would definitely agree with you there as well. So it's going to be, like I said, the next couple of years going to be pretty interesting, because I'm sure we're going to see leaks and things and talks on all this. So, cool stuff for sure.
Get used to hearing about the new architecture.
Yes, for sure. Talking about the Kaby Lake, which is supposed to launch next week. Somebody got their hands on the chip, and while it's not a, I would say, 100% overclock, because only two of the
cores are enabled.
Two of the four cores are enabled.
But that's what they always do.
Yeah, but with two of the four cores enabled, they were able to get the chip up to 7 gigahertz, which is crazy.
I mean, it's not record-setting.
Yeah, it's not record-setting, but it's pretty high. Obviously, this is good PR for Intel, because the chip, again, will be coming out at CES. So, pretty cool. I think it's pretty awesome.
And this is on LN2, of course, right?
I believe so.
Or liquid nitrogen.
So. I would hope so. If not, that's kind of crazy.
Yeah. I'm surprised they're even running on two cores. Usually, they just drop it to a single core to get crazy high.
I mean, they're running the CPU at 2 volts, so I assume it's LN2.
Yeah, it's got to be, or it would probably be on fire.
Yes. So that's pretty cool, I think.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see... Intel is holding an overclocking event on the 4th in Vegas. So we'll see. I think we'll see some pretty high overclocks come out of that event. So
yeah, are we going to be able to see that?
I'm sure we can. I think we have things going on at the same time.
Okay.
Really, but cool, yeah.
Go snag some video.
Yes, some cool stuff.
It's interesting too that it's on a Z170 board.
Well, I think the biggest thing is that a lot of people have access to the chips but don't have access to the boards.
Right.
So
this is a custom BIOS then?
Yeah, well, not custom. Almost every major manufacturer has released a BIOS that adds support for the processor.
Okay,
so you can go online and easily update. I mean, it's for, since maybe September, I think everybody has had an update that supports
the chip. Or just the latest version supports the new chips as well?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So you should easily be able to run a Z or run a Kaby Lake chip if you have one right now on a Z170 board, no problem.
Gotcha.
Yes. Also talking about Kaby Lake, the big thing with Kaby Lake is that it will support Intel Optane memory solutions. Basically, that is a new memory standard that is has the potential to be up to 1,000 times faster than current NAND, which is quite promising.
It's a big climb.
Yeah, quite promising. And the first implementation of how we'll see it will not actually be memory. It will be SSDs. And the way the implementation that we should see is that you'll get a small M.2 SSD, either 16 gigabyte or 32 gigabyte, in your system that will act as a cache between that and a normal hard drive.
Like a traditional hard drive?
Yeah, traditional hard drive. So basically, I don't know why this is the implementation because I'm not a huge fan of it. I would like
to see... I'm just sitting here thinking, am I the only one feeling deja vu? Is this not a hybrid drive?
Yeah, so this is basically making it like a hybrid. This is the first implementation that we'll see that will make it like a hybrid drive. I'm to the point like where I'm done with traditional hard drives. Like,
I don't need anything to spin inside my computer. Yeah, like, other than my fans.
But I think this is a cost thing for one, and we've been hearing that Intel is having problems with producing this NAND,
like they can't produce enough of it to create a drive.
Not produce enough, but like the yields aren't great right now.
Okay,
from what I've heard, but this is good for mobile in some sort of a sense, but not necessarily. Because here's the thing: if you have a traditional SSD, right?
Yeah.
Inside your system, you're lowering your battery by a lot by having that. But if you add this M.2 Plus a traditional hard drive,
it does nothing for you.
Yeah, it while it may be faster,
barely.
It's gonna be faster. They said these are supposed to be the speeds. You'll get speeds of a NVMe drive with a
really.
Yeah.
How is it gonna have everything like prefetched? How does it know that you want that random file that's way deep on your on the platter?
It's their new 3D XPoint technology. You really have to read into it. It is incredible technology, and I think that in the years to come, you're going to see DRAM based on this, and you're going to see, obviously, full SSDs based on this technology.
So I get that the 16 gigabyte Optane part is going to be really fast, but you still have to get that stuff off of the platter, you know?
Yeah,
you've got 16 gigabytes paired with a terabyte, right? And I've got, I don't know, say 20,000 photos on that.
Yeah, but it's not going to be. It's not.
Yeah,
it's not made for the massive transfer, right? It's made for typical everyday stuff. Again, if you are using a traditional hard drive, you're going to see a massive difference. And sadly, I think there's still a lot of people who do use traditional hard drives, and they haven't got to the SSD level yet.
Yeah.
We're enthusiasts. We obviously want the latest parts,
cheap now, though.
Yeah, that's the thing too. Is this again? I think this is just to kind of get the word out there and have a lot of in the wild use cases for the technology. But I don't think this is not the end goal of the Optane technology at all.
Okay, so this is Intel just trying to push the product into the market to get it.
And they do this
so much.
Yeah, but again, we don't know when this will be coming out because, again, I've heard rumblings about issues with this, with just the yields.
Getting any decent yields? To build your 16 gigabyte drive?
I mean, no, they're going to be out there. I think we'll see this towards the middle of the year.
I don't see putting one penny into this until the entire drive is the Optane
memory. Yes, I agree with that as well. And you probably won't see that till next 2018, my assumption. Well, so
yeah, that's okay. We've got NVMe drives right now.
Yes, that's the way you should be going if you're a high end guy. So, we'll move on to AMD here. And a story came out this week is that many motherboard manufacturers are quite optimistic about the high price performance ratio of Ryzen, since we did see at AMD's event, was that last week or the week before? I think it was the week before. So it is prompting them to ramp up orders of motherboards for the new platform. So it looks like
this is just so exciting to me
that we'll see a lot more motherboards for AMD on the AMD side with Ryzen, and we'll see a lot better designs. I would say, I would hope.
It's not even out. This is so exciting.
Yeah, The biggest thing that keeps an AMD fan from going AMD on the CPU side the longest time is that the motherboards just weren't there. You didn't have as many features. They weren't as cool. They weren't as cool. It wasn't as cool. The feature-wise, they weren't there. So with Ryzen, we hopefully will see a turnaround where we do see a full, you know, Asus ROG line, a full G1 gaming line from Gigabyte, a full gaming line from MSI. You know what I mean? For these, especially the high end chipset, which is the X370. Hopefully, we see all of that, which would be nice. Because kind of motherboard manufacturers have kind of just been like, when it comes to building AMD boards,
and for good reason.
Yeah. Oh, especially for good reason.
They're not going to sell them, so.
Yeah, so yeah. This story, if this is any true, it comes from Digitimes, which is really pretty well known, and they have a lot of sources. So it seems like we'll have a lot of boards, and that's going to be really exciting because, you know, the biggest thing about next week for Kaby Lake is the launch of all the Z270 boards. I mean, that's what we look forward to. I mean, we've covered so many that have leaked already. Imagine having that twice a year or however AMD is going to do their thing where we get, oh, look at all these new AMD boards, and then we had, like, you know,
legitimate options. An exciting time to be a PC fan.
Oh yeah, for sure. So definitely AMD is gonna make some moves here. It's gonna be pretty awesome.
You know what drives me nuts though is that it's Z270 and X370. Like, guys, please choose some different naming schemes so we can.
Yeah, we've seen that for a while though.
Yeah, it drives me nuts.
Yeah, talking about the X370. A Gigabyte, it's their AX370 Gaming K3 motherboard. The PCB of the board has been leaked. Photos of it have been leaked. Basically, we have a bare PCB with all of the traces out. And this is right before it would go to the stage where components get put on the board, I believe. Mm-hmm. We can see some things about the board. We can't see a whole lot. But it looks like the board will have a 7-phase VRM for the CPU. We'll have 4 DDR4 DIMM slots, 1 PCI Express X16 slot, and a second X16 slot, but it's X4 electrical, and then 3 Gen 3.1 or 3.0 X1 slots, 8 SATA 6 gig ports, and 132 gig M.2 slots, 8 channel audio, USB 3.1. So it looks like we're, like, again, if you look, go through all these features, this is the lower end board. This is a K3. They go all the way up to a K9 in the, in the gaming series. So this is a lower end board, and this is not a finished product. You'll probably see, some things change on this board, but, it's good to see that, like, they're in production, right? That means that we're getting closer and closer to,
how old are they? Is this two? This is very recent.
Yes, this was this week.
Kind of thought we would see some of these boards at CES, but it doesn't look like
it. I hopefully we'll see what happens a lot is that nobody will say anything, and you'll go to, you know, MSI booth or MSI or, you know, Gigabyte booth, and they just have it sitting there, no markings on it, obviously no name. It will just say upcoming motherboard. I forget who did that like 5 years ago. It was awesome, and if you knew what you were looking for, you could find it. But they didn't say anything. They didn't. None of the reps said anything because they couldn't. It was just there.
They want you to see it. They aren't able to tell you about it.
Yeah, they can't say anything about it. We'll have no identifying markings on it. So they don't. They bring a board that doesn't, like, a lot of these boards. I think even this board has like the actual product name on it. They'll either have that covered or they won't have it at all. And you'll be like, there's a X370 board just sitting there.
Yeah.
You know, so I think we'll see a couple. It usually happens because that's how they get around the NDAs anyways. It's just no name, so that's exciting. And I think we'll see it. I would expect to see at least one at CES.
Yeah, I hope.
Yes, it'll be exciting. So moving on, EK Waterblocks announced their 10th anniversary edition of their EK Supremacy Evo CPU water block, and this thing looks awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Such a great looking water block.
Well, this is actually their 10th anniversary for the company.
Yes,
isn't it? Yeah, and then this is the water block is in commemoration.
Yeah, the water block. Sorry, I didn't explain that. The water block is in commemoration of the 10th anniversary. It's crazy, 10 years for EK.
Yeah,
man, I'm getting old.
It's like it's kind of like the Mark II of like when water cooling became like. It's not exactly, but very close to when it became kind of mainstream and fully established.
Yeah.
Like, with, like, you know, a solid company building parts year after year and making more standards and stuff for it. So it's
really I think, and I still think EK is kind of the top brand.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say in terms of performance, or maybe in terms of performance, but I think it's
popularity.
I mean, so many of these builds that we cover for Case Mod Friday, almost all of them have EK water cooling parts.
Yeah, a good amount. A good number of them.
Yeah.
They make good stuff. There's no doubt.
Yeah. So
the Evo block is honestly probably the block. It's the block to go with.
Yeah. This is so part of the 10th anniversary edition is that you get the 10th anniversary water block. It comes in this really nice package, but also in the package is the EK Wave, which is the flagship CPU water block from 2006.
Yeah,
and it has a gold plated bottom, and they said it comes with a special surprise that will be revealed only to new owners. So we don't know what that means.
Yeah,
But it's really cool.
I kind of like the Wave better than the Evo.
Obviously the Evo probably has better performance. Yeah, for sure. But it's cool to have something like this. I think this is something that I would buy and maybe not even use.
I think that's the idea. They're only producing 100 of them.
Yeah.
So, that'll probably sell out pretty quick. I would expect it to be in the $100 to $150 range.
Yeah, maybe $200.
You think $200?
I mean, there's only 100. Well, that's not a lot.
The Supremacy is just to buy regular Supremacy, like nickel, is only $60.
Okay, maybe $150. Yeah. But I mean, there's only 100, so that's very limited. It's a limited run.
Yeah, but we're not talking about like baseball cards here.
True.
We're talking about water blocks.
So, but I think it's cool, and it's cool that they included their original block. So it's like it's something really cool to have. I would like make this into some sort of like thing I would display.
Dude, somebody should do a dual Xeon build with both these blocks on it.
That would be cool.
That'd be really cool.
That'd be really really cool. So yeah. So if you're looking for this, you can check out EK's website. It should be available. Pre-order soon. Next week. So yeah, cool stuff. Definitely check that water block out. And then finally, some gaming news. It looks like Microsoft will be adding a game mode into Windows 10. And you know, Microsoft has really tried to make Windows 10 gaming a big thing. Obviously, we've seen that, and there has been some good implementations of when you get it to work, it works extremely well. Case in point would be Gears of War 4, which is completely built on the UWP or the UWP.
Okay. So
and it works flawlessly as far as a lot of different things, but it. You got to get it to work first.
You got to get the game to download first.
Yes. The game mode, from what it seems like, we don't know a whole lot. Somebody just found a DLL file, so it's not in the operating system yet. It probably will be in the near future. It looks like it might prioritize the system CPU memory and GPU allocation to the game.
Yeah. I thought that maybe I don't know what I thought this already happened. They'd already did this. That was an advertisement of Windows 10. Was that it was a morph? It like shut stuff down when you were gaming.
I don't think it's in the Xbox One.
Right. I got to sworn that was one of the things they were like touting. Maybe they did, and they, it just was never implemented.
Maybe it was never implemented. I'm not sure. Yeah. But all I know is that it the way the Xbox One handles games is that when a game is launched, it will allocate resources to make the game running as best possible.
Yeah.
Way. So I think this is good. I think maybe they had it implemented on Xbox first, and then, you know, get it to work, because obviously being Windows,
Xbox is a much more stable environment.
Yeah, so hopefully we'll see it in the next couple of releases. And the thing that's we don't know is that will this just be for UWP games, or will this work for, you know, Win32 executables as well?
That was my question. Is it only games that you buy from the Windows Store that do this? Yeah. Will the system even like? I don't want to accuse Windows of anything. They would never do anything until, you know, bad, of course. But
yeah.
Will it even, like, slow the system down if you're running the game outside of it? Who's to know?
Yeah. So, but I think it is a step in the right direction. I think, again, Microsoft has made a big push. Obviously, we talked about it at the beginning of the podcast, of how PC gaming has gotten huge, and they're making it easier, or trying to make it easier for gamers to make the best out of their gaming experience on Windows 10. So,
yeah,
I think this is the best operating system for gaming, feature wise.
I mean, it's the only operating system for features.
Well,
you can't get DX12 outside of Windows 10.
Well, what I mean is, yeah, so like compared to Windows 7, I'm not even going to talk about Windows 8 because that doesn't count. You know, there's just a lot more game centric features built into this operating system. So,
like, what do you mean?
I mean, the whole UWP thing, it does work well.
Okay.
I think that that's a huge step in the right direction as far as, you know, and through the UWP and the launcher, like, you can add games and do different things like that. So you can launch them all directly right there, which is really nice as well.
Okay.
So those are like my two big things that I think are you know, but they've really you know, they've made this more of a gamer friendly environment.
To me, it just seems like they want you to think it is, but the only thing that it really has is DirectX 12.
It does have DirectX 12, and I do think that the UWP and the way the games work in the Windows Store, when you get it to work, it does work well. Like the auto update, you don't have to worry about anything.
Everything at least, auto updates now, though.
Not all the time. It's just
like Origin and Steam.
I mean, yeah, but it's I don't know. I think the experience to me has been very clean, and I like it.
Okay.
It's just once you have to get. We both had issues with Gears of War.
I think that's absurd. That like. I don't know. I think that just tells of underpinning issues with it.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that you can't just get a game downloaded, like, what?
That's
the first step.
Yeah, so that was an issue we both had. But I think, again, I just think that it is a solid experience. At least for me, it has been a very solid experience once I got it running.
All right.
So we'll see what game mode does. It would be interesting to see once they implement it, to see some people do some testing, like with an older version of Windows that doesn't have it, and then a newer one, and see if there's any difference in performance. I think that would be pretty interesting to see.
That'd be a good test.
Yeah. So when game mode comes out, we'll obviously let you guys know, and maybe we'll run some tests and see what it's all about. So. So that brings us to next week, and of course the big thing next week is CES. Derek and I will both be at the show, covering it for you guys. So
let's try to book a flight.
Yeah, you might want to do that. we are going to do something special next week as far as the podcast goes. We won't have our normal podcast on at the end of the week. We will be doing a daily podcast. I'm not sure which day we're going to start it on because we have a couple meetings before the show actually starts. But we will have daily, nightly podcast episodes that will be around 20 to maybe 30 minutes depending on what we cover that day.
Soon as we see some tech stuff, we should start telling people about it.
Yeah, so we'll have all of that. On top of that, obviously, we'll have all of our content. Definitely check out the website. Follow us on social media if you haven't. A lot of cool stuff. supposed to be at the show, obviously always is. And I'm excited, man. I'm excited to see, you know, not only the stuff that we cover, but I mean, there's so much cool VR stuff going on, which we don't really cover. There's so much drone stuff going on.
VR is going to be good.
VR, yeah. Drone stuff, I think, is going to be pretty cool. I don't know what the big thing in TV, like, there's always a big TV thing. I don't really know what the big TV thing is this year. Like
5K or something, probably.
Yeah, that's just not, it's not a big year for TVs. 8K. I think
there'll be a bunch of 8Ks because there were 8K last year.
Yeah.
Somebody will have something like with a denser resolution, probably.
Yeah, and I think that VR will be the big thing this year.
I don't think it will trump like the, I don't know. It's hard to like to how do you quantify what the big thing is, right? Mm-hmm. Like what gets the most news? That's probably VR. But like, what is the most like show floor space dedicated to? I think that still will probably go to TVs and stuff.
Oh yeah, it always goes to TVs.
Yeah, because it's just all the big names. That's what they're pushing, but. Yeah, I think that for us, it's going to be a lot of like Intel stuff.
Yeah, so we will see a game Kaby Lake, and that means that
because we got Kaby Lake stuff and the boards.
We'll have all the Z270 boards, which is going to be a bitch to cover. I remember, I forget what was the last time Intel really launched a desktop processor at the show.
Yeah,
and all of the boards, it's a lot because every company has. And there's, you know, we'll probably only, we won't cover the other chipsets. We'll just cover the Z270. Mm-hmm. And in that, I mean, most companies will have 5 to 10 boards. You know, especially big ones like Asus and, you know, even MSI and Gigabyte, who have like three different lines for Z270.
Yeah.
And you have four
and
boards
and
in each line.
Boards in each line.
Yeah. So it's going to be kind of difficult. And on top of that, a lot of those companies have other products besides motherboards.
Yeah.
You know, so it's going
to
be...
You're going to have to tell them, sorry guys, this year we're only talking about motherboards.
Yeah, so it's going to be a lot to cover. But we will have those daily episodes. So definitely, if you're subscribed to the podcast, you should see all of that. It's going to be a fun week, I think. I think it's going to be a really good week.
I mean, obviously, check out our regular coverage. But I think because we're doing these daily podcasts, you're going to get a lot of information there. That's just like fresh in our memories, you know?
Yeah, so for sure. And yeah. We are shooting pretty much all video. So a lot of cool stuff on YouTube for you guys to check out. So, we will also do, it is the end of the year. So next week we will have some wrap up articles for the year. The one that I think everybody's going to really enjoy is we're doing the worst PC setups of 2016. So All the PC setups that we've covered in our previous articles, I'm going to pick out the ones that I think are just horrible and the worst, and that will be combined into one single article. And we are doing the best case mods of 2016. And again, it's the same thing. So all the case mods that we covered, I'm going to pick a handful, and those will be the best of 2016. I already have them picked out. There's some really awesome ones. So yeah.
Ask me for any help.
Well, I mean, if you want to go over my
picks.
No,
you already picked them out, man.
But yeah, so that will be next week. I'm really excited, man. I'm excited to go. I'm excited to get. Well, the thing is, you know what's crazy is this year it's like cold here, but like it's going to be cold in Vegas, so it's not.
It's going to be just as cold there. I'm actually probably going to go buy more warm clothes.
I didn't really pack a jacket. I never pack a jacket.
A jacket. Dude, high of 40. I'm a little bit sad about that because I can get that at home.
But like I don't like wearing I don't like wearing a jacket. Like I don't want a jacket.
I guess you're just going to have to freeze between buildings.
No, I'll just walk. I mean, it's not that far. I don't know.
Did you spend a good amount of time walking between casinos and stuff, you know?
Yeah, it's going to be
There's going to be so many people cutting in through all the little you know, all the casinos have the front door that just leads from one front door to another.
Yeah.
That's going to be some trafficked areas.
It'll be fine, I think.
I think so. It's just, I'm going to probably bring a jacket.
Yeah. So, we were talking about the beginning of the podcast, 2016. What did you think about this year?
It was good. I don't know. I'm like, I kind of am struggling, like, really coming up with what we had, the 10 series, right?
The 10 series, and we had the RX. Did the 480 come out?
I think that was this year.
That was disappointing.
Yeah, but I mean, it was what it was. I think that this was a great year for AMD.
I think this was a great year for AMD structure wise. It just wasn't high end. Yeah, well, that's the thing. I was disappointed. Was yeah. kind of.
I don't know though. Maybe it's because I don't like. I don't depend on AMD at all, right? To come out with anything cool, right?
Yeah.
So, I just they just don't usually do it. So when they just came out with a regular mainstream series, to me, I was like, well, that's the best thing they could have possibly done.
Yeah. I would agree with you there. I'm trying to think what else is really big this year.
VR.
VR's been huge. The
headsets launched this year.
Yeah, that was kind of big.
I think, though, that really where it's the next generation of headsets that is where it's going to be at, right?
Yeah, I think so. Gen 2 of VR is going to be really big. I think having the headsets out there, though, drives content, so we'll see much better games and different experiences.
It's still trying to figure itself out, really. I mean, like, what makes a good VR game is still a good question, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. so, yeah, VR, I'm trying to think what else was super big this year.
I don't know.
What was your favorite product you reviewed this year?
Oh, it's got to either be the X52, the Kraken that I just reviewed, or the, what is the, well, the Manta came out this year too, though.
Yeah.
The Manta case, that was a really cool case. Let me see here. It's just, we see so much stuff.
I'm thinking. I mean, that system that I just reviewed, because it's like fresh in my mind, was really great. Yeah. Also, that Cooler Master case that I just reviewed was really great.
Oh, the S340 Elite was a really good case too.
Yeah. Besides that, stuff that really, I mean, that remember that Tesoro keyboard that I reviewed, the white keyboard?
That was really cool.
That was really cool to do. I had a lot of fun reviewing that.
Oh, I did. Didn't I do? Yeah, I definitely did. Did the Water Cooling 101 series this year.
Yeah, that was a big deal
for you. That was a blast.
Yeah, if you haven't seen Derek's Water Cooling 101 series, a series of, what, 5 articles?
I think so.
Where he basically, it's a 101 on water cooling. So if you want to learn to water cool, you should definitely check that out.
Seven articles.
Yeah, so there's a lot there.
And I might be expanding that. I might do a hard tubing section on it too this upcoming year.
Nice.
Yeah. We'll see. I'm in the process of building a new office studio review space. So once that's going, we'll see what I can do with that.
Nice. You know what was a big year was NVMe drives. Drive came out at the beginning of the year, which was the Intel drive, and since then we've seen so many iterations, and it's basically pushed storage quite a lot. I mean, every major company now has an NVMe drive.
I almost want to say, I can't believe I forgot that, but I would almost give that like product of the year.
It might be.
Because, yeah, I mean, that was... That's pretty huge.
Yeah.
That form factor, those speeds, and it's like the capacities. It's good stuff.
Yeah, and we will see a lot of CES too. But I mean, this was a year for SSDs to go down in traditional SSDs to go down in price.
Yeah.
As well as have higher capacities. You know, we see a lot of 1 and 2 terabyte drives now at CES. I'm sure we'll see a lot of higher ones, even higher ones too. So,
yeah,
really cool stuff. Yeah, I think NVMe was a huge thing this year. 10 series from NVIDIA was huge. Some really great cases came out this year as well. So, a lot of cool stuff.
What's your favorite just nerd thing from the year? Man, what's the thing that got you the most excited?
I know what yours is. Yeah. Honestly, you know, I was super excited for Battlefield. But sadly, I haven't played a lot of it because I've been playing Gears of War. No, I was really excited for Battlefield. I thought, you know, I really haven't got into it to really say if it's such a great game. But I did like the time period and the history of everything, and I thought it was really cool. But I just haven't had a whole lot of time to play. I just got into Gears of War, and I've been playing that.
Yeah, it's a good game. Gears is a good game.
Yeah. We know your favorite geek thing was Star Wars.
Yeah, Rogue One is pretty exciting for me.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, a little bit sad after that, Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds.
Yeah, I know. That's crazy.
The big hit to Star Wars. But
yeah. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I'm kind of like at a loss for words to really think about it here. I mean, I was really excited for Battlefield. I mean, as far as a nerd thing, that was pretty high up there for me.
I was looking forward to the Grand Tour, the new driving show.
I've seen. So, you know, I'm not huge into that, but I would watch it probably. You know the cool thing that I did get to go to Hong Kong this year, and I did get to tour a factory where they make graphics cards, which was really cool. If you buy these graphics cards, but you have no clue how they're actually made.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so that was something really cool and really interesting to see as well. I'm glad
especially
I was able to have
all your years of being in tech.
Yeah, this would be. Over 10 years and I haven't really got to see how those things were made, so that was really cool. And that was probably my highlight of the year as far as like things that I did. I think 2016 has been a great year. Everybody who's listened to the podcast, we really appreciate you guys listening, and obviously we do this for you guys and just to put tech news out there, man.
Just nerd out with everybody.
Yeah, nerd it's out and time, talk about tech. So we appreciate everybody in 2016, and we'll be back in 2017. Obviously, as I said, we'll have those mini episodes pretty much every day that we're in Vegas. Just talk about what we saw on the show.
Definitely check that out. I think we're going to be super excited when we're recording. This should be just some cool stuff to talk about.
So
I think if you listen to the podcast at any time, you should probably check out our mini pods.
Yes. Yeah. Well, is that what we're going to call them? Mini pods?
I just came up with that. You can call it whatever you want.
Yeah. So we'll have all of that stuff and all the information where you can listen to all of those on the website. We will have a full. I didn't talk about. We will have a full CES section on the site as well. So there'll be one page where you can have all of our CES coverage in one spot. So it's really easy for you guys to find. So thanks for a great 2016, and we will catch everybody later in 2017.
Happy New Year.